You're listening to ReachMD XM160, the channel for medical professionals. Welcome to Advances in Medical Imaging, a program discussing the latest innovations in clinical radiology and imaging technologies. Your host is Dr. Jason Bernholz, Director of Diagnostic Ultrasound Consultants in Oak Brook, Illinois.
Something new for the primary care physician that fits right into one's black bag? Something that improves history taking, expands a physical exam, and strengthens the patient-physician relationship? What is it? We're about to find out. You're listening to ReachMD, the channel for medical professionals. Welcome to Advances in Medical Imaging. I'm Dr. Jason Bernholz, your host, and with me today is Dr. David Hellman. Dr. Hellman is the Aliki Parati Professor of Medicine, the Vice Dean, and the Chairman of the Department of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center in Baltimore. Today we're discussing ultra-portable ultrasound. Dr. Hellman, thank you very much for joining us today.
Very pleased to be here.
When you started your work with portable ultrasound, or maybe I should say bedside ultrasound, some years ago, what did you perceive of as the clinical need?
I thought that it was ridiculous that the average physician was going to the bedside with the same tools that Osler had 130 years earlier, but without any evidence that we could use those tools any better than he did.
How did you go about trying to establish that there are ways to change this?
We looked at the information on how people currently were doing with the tools that we have. So the stethoscope was invented in 1819, and the ophthalmoscope was invented in 1851. So this meant that the most recently invented tool that the average doctor was using at the bedside was nearly 150 years old or more than that. And it is one thing if it's old, but it's the other issue is how well they work. And the evidence is that, unfortunately, in the hands of the even experts, these tools, venerable as they are, just don't perform very well. So there are a number of studies that show, even in the hands of cardiologists, that the typical physical exam with a stethoscope of the heart will miss about half of the findings that are viewed to be important and that are identifiable by echocardiogram. And we also found similar results with examinations of other parts of the body. So the physical exam turns out not to be very good at picking up ascites or enlargement of the spleen or liver, and yet these are tasks which ultrasound does exceedingly well.
You mentioned the classic stethoscope. Of course, phonocardiography has been around for a long time, but nobody seems to make very much use of it. Is that because there's not enough information in that way of looking at things, or is it simply an inertia of moving into something a little more technical?
Part of the problem is that sound itself is of limited value. So, for example, heart sounds may not tell you very well how effectively the ventricle is contracting, and yet imaging through ultrasound provides that answer easily and quickly.
Well, how did you go about trying to establish this premise?
It's a bit of a story, and I initially began talking with scientists at the Johns Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory, a large laboratory that's largely dedicated to highly technical work, and they were interested and began focusing on ultrasound as a way of modernizing the doctor's black bag. But I quickly discovered that there were other people who had been looking at this and had developed machines that did the job that we were trying to invent. And so instead of, I was never interested in trying to invent a device, I wanted to try to apply it. And so once I realized there were some devices that were available, we began to focus on the question, could the average doctor learn how to use this piece of equipment? You can list a whole bunch of things that a general physician would want to do. You could think that it could be used diagnostically to examine the heart, that it could be used to determine if someone has a pleural effusion, if someone has ascites. Why have the patient wait for a day in the hospital to answer a question that turns out to be answered by frequently high school graduates? And don't get me wrong, I have nothing against high school graduates, but if I go to school until I'm 30, why can't I answer the question, is there pleural effusion or is there ascites and how well does the heart contract? So we began focusing on general internists, and in our case, we particularly have looked at hospitalists. Hospitalists are doctors who work only in the hospital, and we thought that this was a group that would love to be able to bring rapid diagnostic tests to the bedside. And so we specifically have been asking the question, can hospitalists learn how to acquire and interpret correctly echocardiograms? That's been the focus of our work.
If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Jason Bernholtz, and I'm speaking with Dr. David Hellman. We're discussing ultraportable ultrasound. Okay, well, ultrasound is actually a technically advanced form of percussion, which is a pretty basic physical exam technique. When you had your hospitalists start to use this, were they able to go beyond the screen image to apply their knowledge of pathology and pathophysiology to the problems of the patients they're looking at? Or do they have problems with cross-sectional imaging or image noise or other factors?
So what we found is that there are two parts to doing echocardiography correctly. One is acquiring the image, and the other is interpreting the image. Turns out interpreting the image is not very hard to learn, and perhaps that's because in medical school, everyone is exposed to echocardiograms and their interpretation. But acquiring the image is not so easy, and it takes a good deal of training to be able to acquire a high-quality image that can be interpreted. So what we found is that with moderate training, you can train hospitalists to do a pretty good job in acquiring the image, but they don't do it as well as an echo technician. When it comes to interpreting the image, our hospitalists came pretty darn close to cardiology fellows, not quite, but close. And so there was much less of a gap in their ability to interpret the image than acquire. And ultimately, what we've learned is that we need to focus on teaching a very limited examination. And we're now working on focusing simply on being able to measure left ventricular function. And the reason that we've focused on that is that it's an important clinical outcome. It frequently determines prognosis. And poor left ventricular function has a known treatment, which is also known to work. So we're now doing studies to try to see if we can teach hospitalists to do echocardiography to detect and measure accurately left ventricular function.
Well, heart failure is certainly one of the primary reasons patients come into internist office and are followed afterwards. Is this ready now for office use?
Some people are using it in offices for a variety of different things. So there are studies, for example, showing that ultrasound picks up many more thyroid nodules than is possible by physical examination. What's not clear is whether the detection of all these nodules is cost effective. So it's also clear that ultrasound can be used to determine if there's any carotid artery disease. So I think in my view, I'm a great fan of ultrasound and a great fan of trying to revolutionize the doctor's black bag. And it's inconceivable to me that we can't bring better technology to the bedside for the benefit of our patients. But I think in my conservative view, the jury is still out as to exactly where this can be taught, where it can be taught well, and where it makes a big difference for patients in general medical care.
Well, I mean, where it makes a difference is certainly the important thing, isn't it? I'm thinking that there is a difference between a kind of a primary diagnostic exam where anything is possible and you've got to consider everything, and sort of a surveillance or follow-up exam where you're looking at something that's already been identified and you're just trying to decide, is it getting better or worse or staying the same? And that ought to be a lot easier to introduce into practice, I would think.
Jason, I think you're absolutely correct. And I believe that most of the people who are working in this field have come to that conclusion that the examinations with ultrasound need to be focused. There are a number of other potential applications. So the Preventive Task Force has recommended, for example, that every male smoker over the age of 65 who's likely to live 10 years should have a screening ultrasound of the abdomen for an abdominal aortic aneurysm. That would be something that ultrasound could eminently answer and could be done in a primary care physician's office. And in the hospital, we haven't touched on all the procedures that could be done, it sounds like, much more safely with guided ultrasound than placing needles into veins and arteries blindly. So I think there are many, many potential applications. Our studies have just focused on the cardiac aspect.
Actually, I'm wondering if any of your hospitalists happened to share any observations they made about their interactions with patients while they were doing their scanning.
I think that one could fear that introducing this technology would distance you from the patient. And the perception has been the exact opposite. To do a cardiac ultrasound requires hands-on. You have to spend time with the patient. You're positioning the patient. And so there is a sense that from the hospitals that the bond between them and the patient has increased, and furthermore that to be able to show the patient the image and describe the image, our hospitals have the sense that this has further increased the bond between them and has heightened the sense of competency that the patient feels the physician has.
Well, very likely because of your work, even though you've tended to concentrate very specifically on cardiac applications, most of the major ultrasound manufacturers are now producing portable equipment and promoting it directly, or they will be promoting it directly to primary care physicians. The latest device is a handheld one that has a high-definition screen, lots of electronics for spiffing up the image. And I'm wondering if you think these improvements will provide an extra impetus for this, or is this a generational thing? Do we need to have some years of medical student and resident exposure and training before this will come to pass?
I think it's probably going to take a little while and that it will be accepted by the generations to come. I know some medical schools are now using ultrasound as part of teaching anatomy or as part of teaching cardiac physiology. And this difficulty that we're finding of acquiring the image is likely not to be such a problem for the physicians in the future who may grow up with this from day one of anatomy class.
My thanks to Dr. David Hellman, who has been our guest. We've been discussing ultra-portable ultrasound. Dr. Hellman, I really applaud your work, and I hope you'll keep us all updated on your progress.
Would love to. Thank you.
I'm Dr. Jason Bernholtz, and you've been listening to Advances in Medical Imaging on ReachMD, the channel for medical professionals. Be sure to visit our website at reachmd.com, now featuring podcasts of this and other featured series. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Advances in Medical Imaging. For more details on this week's show or to download the segment, visit us at reachmd.com. Thank you for listening.